Before we get going, I want to ask that the Lord will guide us in this. I know that every one of His words, every one of His promises, He says is like He uses the word dynamite. And that what we have this morning is like dynamite. I have to honestly confess to you that I have never really paid that much attention to this scripture in my whole life. I saw it and I thought it was just like an illustration of something, that God would just use an illustration. I don't know how many hours I've been poring over this week. And it's like I would love to do a series on this with you and I on the Friday night. I mean, it's just incredible what God has put in here and what is available for us. And so before we do that, I'd like to ask that we'd have prayer, that the Holy Spirit will please guide us. And I'd like to have my wife ask the Lord to guide us in this. Would you please have prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Sabbath school and this Sabbath that we can all come together and study your word and learn more about how much you care and love for us and so desperately want to share that with us. Ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us today. In your name we pray. Amen.
One of the reasons I really love to teach the partner with Ernie is that we have found by no design of our own that it just dovetails together. And again this week, as I saw what he presented last week. Now, could someone summarize real quickly what you heard last week? Very quickly. He put Charles on the spot.
You told me to shut up when he does, right?
Yeah. He told us the war is over.
Amen.
Now, my question is, why would God then tell us to take up armor? With your experience with this text, what goes through your mind? I'm going to read some in just a minute, but since the audience is so large today, keep your comments right direct to the point and short and sweet, and we'll try to get everybody included in this, because I have many questions for you to deal with, because these are so pertinent in what we're dealing with in the Christian relationship. So I saw a hand back here. Yes.
I was going to say that while we learned last week and pinpointed that the war is over, there is somebody that's after us still. And the reason we need the armor is because we are going to continuously be attacked.
Okay. So what are we fighting? If the war is over, what is the battle? Give me your ideas of what you have heard in the past of what this war is over. What is the picture that you get in your mind when you think of this Christian battle? Hey, come on, pop up real quick. What are some of the ideas when you think of this battle?
Sometimes, Rob, we are still acting like the war is going on. I mean, that's been one presentation of these things, like we're still in there fighting this battle. But I don't think that's the situation. He said to the children of Israel, he gave them these laws because it made good sense to do these things. And I think in the same sense here, the devil hadn't given up on us. He's like to get any of us that he can, but we need to be fighting the right battle.
Yeah, we need to understand what that is. What are the ideas that pop in your mind when you get this idea that we've got this battle, this fight?
Christ and Satan both fight for our individual souls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you see it, the battle between Christ and Satan. Mm-hmm. Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah.
I think it's just like Iraq. One, that a long time ago, terrorists keep attacking. Satan is the terrorist that keeps attacking. It's over.
Okay.
And there's a battle between our own flesh and blood.
Now, what are you talking about?
Our sinful nature, spiritual battle.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else? What's his struggle? Yes.
I think love battle within me. Mm-hmm. In protecting a relationship that I only can destroy. If I hang in there and I keep focused, that's the only way that you can maintain and keep a relationship alive.
Okay.
Well, and also, my wife is reading a book called Battlefield of the Mind.
Oh.
So it's a battlefield of the mind and the heart.
Okay.
A man. And so what we have to do is be able to give our hearts over to him, because the war is already won.
Okay. Appreciate it. So you came fully armored today. You already read a book on it and came already. Well, so keep me straight here.
Still about.
Okay. How many of you have had the thought that the battle has something to do with our salvation?
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard that? That we wrestle to make sure that we're saved.
Amen.
Is that the battle?
No. The battle is Satan attacks the character of God. It all started with Lucifer in heaven. I mean, that is the beginning. That is the whole essence of the whole battle, is that God's character has been smeared and continuously smeared throughout the ages. And the battle is won because Jesus paid the price already. Our battle is won.
Okay. I really appreciate that. That's a beautiful comment. Somebody else. Have you had the idea? Have you even lived that where you felt like the battle was for your salvation? Yeah. And we struggle with this as to what we're supposed to be doing. What is our part? And when we look at this, would you mind, you have the message? Would you read this? I have really enjoyed the message Bible, because some of the just incredible insights, because they go in there and they look at the different nuances in the Greek, and they come back and they try to explain that. I think they missed it on this one. Listen very closely to what this is saying. This is Ephesians 6, 10 through... just read through to that one part,
okay,
if you would.
And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and He wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth.
Thank you. What does that convey to you?
Yes, huh? The thing that kind of reminds me is, not giving to us with. It's with the strong, is with them that endure to the end.
Okay. Yes.
So the concept involved there is that this is something that we're going to be battling with and dealing with to the end. If you give up the race, then that's really the only thing that you have that will, I guess, forfeit your soul, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
You know, if you give up the race, then that's how you...
Okay. Would you say that we have a tendency as a church to convey the idea that really, when it really comes down to it, that very few of us are going to make it?
Yes.
And when we say that, what are we looking at?
Behavior.
What else? What are we looking at that causes us to say that?
I'm fighting by myself. Without Jesus, I'm fighting alone. That text that your wife read is almost saying that get all the weapons you can, because you have a battle to fight and you don't have an adversary. You don't have somebody who has faith in Christ. You have
doing it yourself.
With yourself.
Okay, and that's what we saw.
Acceptance. I think the battle is the devil is tempting me and teasing me, saying this is very complicated, it's very discouraging, you can't do it, you're worthless. And I tend to believe that. rather than accept. It's really not that complicated. It's already been done. I just have to accept it.
Okay. Very good. Yes.
And then if you look at it from the very beginning, that God's law.
Can you hear Ron? Can you hear
that? God's law is unjust, and you can't stand up to all points of the law. And God is not. Is not going to raise up a people that is going to be able to perfectly keep his law. That's the concept.
Okay, you're saying this is why we have this idea that
you're
going to make it.
Right. But you're looking at it through the lens of without the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
To come to that type of conclusion. But with the Holy Spirit, you realize that, yes, that can't happen.
Yeah.
But as long as he continuously put this facade in our minds, then we're always... We are in an attitude of actually lose and a losing battle.
Okay. Yes. Can you say your name again?
My name is Rodney.
Yes, Rodney. Okay, I remember I about ran over you over your life. Okay.
God, excuse me.
It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. And once we understand that, like I said, the battle's already won. Once we keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ and not on ourselves, then we have not too much to worry. We have nothing to worry about because it's already been won. He's won it, and it's about him. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ.
Is there a Christian struggle?
Yes.
The rage that I see building in my life personally is staying focused. There are so many things I can get involved with and go spend time doing that have nothing to do with God. And I've had a really great conversation with some of my nephews, and we've discussed that if you're listening to God, there's not a whole lot that you can come in. There's not much temptation around you. The fact is, in the lesson, it indicates that if you have some of this armor of love and truth and righteousness, that there's no war.
Yes.
It has no access to you.
Yes.
That you're in a, you're in that zone. You're at peace with God. And
okay. Very good. Very good. Yes, Ron.
You read this chapter though, and. Sounds pretty intimidating.
Yes.
We still got to have the shield. We got to have the helmet. We got to have the breastplate. Wow, I can't follow that. That sounds too much.
Right.
But there's a scripture in Philippians that says, yes, God is working in you to help you want to do what pleases him. And he gives you the power to do it.
Something. We've got to understand where the war is.
Yes.
We've got to recognize what's going on. First of all, where did this idea of the armor come from? Where did this originate?
When Paul was writing this, he was thinking about the Roman soldiers. He was thinking about the
Roman soldiers, that was one of them. Paul was sitting there in jail, and the Romans were there, the soldier was there. Where did this stuff come from? Did you realize that every piece of armament is mentioned over in Isaiah? I want you to turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah 11 and Isaiah 59. I want you to look at something. Look at Isaiah 11 and Isaiah 59. Does anybody have that? Isaiah 11. And let's look at verse 5.
Goodness and fairness will give him strength. They will be like a belt around his waist.
The only verse. Now go ahead and read a little bit faster.
Then wolves will live in peace with lambs, and leopards will lie down to rest with goats. Calves, lions, and young bulls will eat together, and a little child will lead them.
Okay. Who's this referring to? What is this chapter about? It's about God. This is about Christ. So what does it say he will wear? And righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. Now look over in 57. I told those who have been around a little bit, I have said this several times, my favorite book in the Old Testament, Isaiah. It's incredible. Isaiah 57, and let's look at verse 17. Somebody read that. Somebody in the back read it so we can hear it up here.
For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me and was wroth. And he went on forwardly in the way of his heart.
That's not it.
No.
59.
I'm sorry. I just
said 57. Yeah, I know. I led you astray.
Oh, okay. Because I'm thinking. Okay.
When we get to the devil's fiery darts,
okay.
Interesting thing here.
Thank you. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak.
Okay. Now, who is this referring to?
Jesus.
Jesus. That this is what he was clad with. And the idea from the Hebrew and from the Greek is they didn't have any way to describe this. They just said a fully clothed soldier is called panoply. Panoply. It is someone that is so totally, thoroughly covered that it is impenetrable. So when Jesus came to us, what was he clothed with?
His righteousness.
Righteousness.
Yeah, and so Paul goes back and draws this statement that Jesus put on back in Isaiah and said that that Jesus came fully clad, fully armored.
Amen.
Pardon? It's incredible what you see. Now, last week, Ernie didn't give himself enough time to look at one special verse, the idea of wrestle. Do you mind sharing that idea with them, what you were sharing with me?
Since this guy gave me a C- in Greek, I have to continually find these things out on my own. Wrestle in the Greek specified a specific one-on-one battle until one of them was driven to the ground and held down till they could move no longer.
In total submission.
Total submission.
Now, here is Christ coming, clothed fully, and Paul picks this up and he says, be dressed just like God. Well, a lot of times we think that it's something that we then have to do. Paul watched the soldiers get dressed. What piece of armament did the soldier put on?
Helmet. Breastplate.
He couldn't put anything on. Everything had to be put on him. He had to be dressed by a servant. There is nothing there. There is not one word in this passage that has to do with offense. But what do you get the idea? That we go out there and we're going to slay with the word. We're going to attack all these things. You're going to beat up on the devil. Not one word in this passage about offense. Everything on the soldier except one item is for defense. Even God had a shield on the back. The word in Isaiah says that even his backside, there was not a vulnerable place on his body. All of it was he had to be dressed. Not one word of offense. Not one word that is active that I have to do. Now go out and do all these things to fight the devil. The entire passage is in the passive. That is, there is nothing then that I do to put these things on. And it says, God lays them out for you. God puts them on. Now I want to use an illustration. I'm going to use two illustrations here. Reva, do you mind telling that one? You tell so well, or do you want me to tell?
Go ahead.
Okay. I want you to know she's not that quiet in the home. She said, you know, it's amazing. She had three children. The first one was premature, and she said she had to use doll diapers to cover that little tiny body. The next one was standard. She dreamt it in regular diapers. But the third one, she caught herself picking up the phone and saying, Lisa, I can't put a diaper on this kid. He fights me all the time. Does God have a struggle putting the armor on us? He dresses us. Do we fight Him trying to get our diaper on? How many of you read Pilgrim's Progress?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, then you're going to be familiar with something. Traveler was asked to follow the path. You follow your guide. Your guide will guide you. He will not let you down. So they went through several different things, and finally, the city that he kept wanting to go back to, his guide says, stay on the path. So Pilgrim was staying on the path, and one time they came around a corner, and up ahead he saw two giant lions. And Pilgrim stopped. And the guy said, why are you stopping? He said, well, look up ahead. There are two giant lions up there. He said, trust me. Follow the path. I can't. They'll destroy me. Trust me. Follow the path. So Pilgrim, very intimidated, was going toward that path. And as he kept going, sure enough, those huge lions got up. They looked at him, and they began roaring. He started to run, wanted to hit back the city, and the guy says, no, trust me, go ahead. So finally, Pilgrim kept on going, just fearing. And sure enough, when he got close, he started to run. The guy says, no, go ahead. And as he got right near the lions, sure enough, they lunged. And they were tied with a massive chain. And he noticed something very unique about them. They were toothless. They were toothless. So here is God trying to help us to understand. Sure, there are going to be a lot of things. And Rick, just like you said, we can become attuned to God's will to where all of these things that the devil is trying to do, it's like we can't hear them.
Amen.
Now, how many of you have heard the story of the Japanese soldiers who came out of hiding just within the last decade, and I can't remember the date? They came out, they still had their weapons, they still had some ammunition. And how many years had the war been over? Almost 50 plus years, almost 60 years. And they came out into a world they didn't even understand. The battle was over. They were ready to fight. fight something, and there was no enemy there to fight. I want you to get a vision of what God said our battle is. We're going to look at what is the devil trying to do? What is he doing to attack us? And what is the real battle about? Look over in 2 Kings, a wonderful, wonderful passage. 2 Kings, let me find it here. I don't know if I wrote it down. I think I did. Wrestling with this so much. Yeah, 2 Kings 6. 2 Kings 6. Okay, look at this. And let's look at verse 8. Verse 8. Now the king of Aram was warring against Israel, and he counseled with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down there. And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, so that he guarded himself there more than once or twice. Now the king of Aram was enraged over this thing, and he called to his servants and said to them, will you tell me which of us is for the king of Israel? So here he had these secret plans, and somehow the king of Israel knew this. And one of his servants said, no, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak, even in your bedroom. So he said, see where he is, that I may send and take him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. And he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? The description here is sheer terror. So it says, he answered him, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Amen. Yeah, right. So Elisha said, Lord, would you please open his eyes that he may see what's out there? And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was what? Full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, I remember a story as a child. My father, I only got one spanking, really a beating from him. He's really a nice guy, but I probably deserve something for that, but not the beating. But normally, he never did, was never hard on us. He lived on a farm in Washington State. And all of us kids, there were six of us, we all had our chores to do. And so Dad, every time before we ate, he would go around the table. He started with my older sister and said, well, did you do this and this? Yes. You didn't lie to him. Betty, did you do thus and thus? What are the chores? Yes. Went right on around the table. I was second from last. Well, as soon as he said it, I says, oh, no. I forgot to feed and water the cows. I was hoping that he would quit before he got to me. Because it was dark. Pitch dark. He got around to me and said, Robbie, did you feed and water the cows? No. He said, you remember, cows don't eat. you don't eat. I got up and I said, Daddy, it's dark. Robbie, the cows don't eat, you don't eat. I was terrified. Now, in Washington State at that time where we lived, there were wolves, and my grandfather used to tease us. Now I know he's teasing us, but as a child, he didn't tease us. He said, those wolves will get so hungry, they'll eat the railroad ties. You can imagine what I thought they would do to me. There were bear out there. We used to have to compete with them for the big old blackberries that were out there. So I knew those things were out there. But when a child goes out in the dark night, guess all the sounds they hear. They have the most acute sound. And from the house to the barn was at least 6 miles. When I went back as an adult, I was terrified, so I had to run because I was terrified. I'd rather face a bear than I would my dad. So I took off, I ran. I slammed my body against that door, reached in and I fumbled and I finally hit the light. I went in there. Well, we had one of those barns that squeak and crack at night. Every one of them was a wolf or a bear. I was terrified. And so I went out and I made sure those cows were fed and that the hay was down. Now I had the horrible task of running back to the house. It was at least 12 miles that way. And so I went there. I didn't know how I'd do it. Now, one of the things we used to do as children was we would have a contest to see who could turn out the light and get to the bed before the light went out. You ever do that? Hit the light and try to get in? Well, I thought if there's some way that I could hit that light and get to the house before the light went out. So I got there, I got all ready, and I hit that light and I started to walk. And the second as I started to run, soon as I ran, I heard sound of steps on the gravel. I just knew I was a dead boy. Turned back around and I fought to try to find that light. I finally hit that light. It came on, and guess who was standing there? My dad. Robbie, did you feed them? If he could have seen what my heart was doing. Did you feed him? He said, yes, I did. He said, good boy. He said, okay. He knew what it was like for me to have to go back to the house. I never did forget to feed those things after that. But you know, something happened to me when I walked away from there. He grabbed my hand and he said, let's go. I can remember to this day what was going on in my mind. I didn't want him to know it, but I was saying, hey, bear! Servant, when God opened his eyes and he saw chariots of fire.
Amen.
Full all over the place. Is it any different today?
No.
It's still the same thing today. God is there. God has provided these resources. There's not one thing I can do to get myself dressed. I make myself available.
Amen.
God must dress me. And when I go, there's not one word about going out and fighting anything. No offense. It's all defense. Now I want to go through, and I want to go through piece by piece, if we have enough time. Oh, man. And try to look at these things to see what he has actually provided for us. Let's turn back to Ephesians 6. I want to look at that. In verse 10, this is so incredible. Verse 10 of chapter 6, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. When it says be strong, It says, let yourself be strong.
Amen.
Open yourself to Him and He will infuse your life with the same thing that He has. He will so permeate your life that you will look like one. And guess what the power is that He gives you? The Greek word is the same word that we use when we invented dynamite. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. The word might is dynamite. What He has put inside of us. And He has so identified Himself with us. What is that statement? He will so identify Himself with us that in carrying out our will, we're actually carrying out His. Look at what it says now. Put on the full armor. There's that word, full armor. The only way they could describe this is it's almost like a impenetrable. Would you say that one for me?
Three syllables?
Impenetrable barrier that covers us totally. The full armor of God. That you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now let's look at what is the war. What is the devil throwing at us? One of the things, what is this quarterly talking about? What is the whole theme of the entire quarterly, which is the theme of Ephesians? Unity. Let's look to see what is the devil, what are the schemes that he's throwing at us. There are two passages I want to look at. Ephesians 3 and Ephesians 4. We're just going to skip through those. I don't want to take a whole lot of time because I've got several other things I want to show you. Ephesians 3, starting with verse 14. What are the things the devil throws at us? Ephesians 3:14. Somebody jump in there and start eating on that.
For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives His name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in His inner being.
There's that same word. That He may have this, that you may have this power. And it talks about the strength of the inner person. All of this is, Rick, you were saying, all of this is inside. This is all something that He does inside of us. Now go on.
Okay.
Look at verse 14.
17, so that... 14?
14, please.
Alright, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in the in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ.
So what's He trying to do? That we will be strengthened with what?
The love of Christ.
With the love of Christ, that we will understand the length, the depth, the breadth of the love of Christ. I have come to do what? To let you know who I am. That you may know who the Father is. Now look over chapter 4 and look at 14. Why does He do this? What does the devil throw? Somebody else read that, would you? Verse 14 of chapter 4.
that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness and deceitful lies.
Okay. What is this saying? That we're not going to be driven around by every wave. All of these thoughts, all of these ideas, and the ones that they're trying to do, all of these schemes of men, and the deceitfulness of what the devil's trying to do. How does he make us vulnerable? If he can ever get our eyes off of Christ, ever get us to sever that relationship, that's your battle. Look what else. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That we no longer become like the Gentiles who walk in the futility of their mind. Look in verse 18. Being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, the power of God, the light that He gives us, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. All of these things will happen if we are not clothed. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality and for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But do not learn Christ in this way. So what is he trying to do? What is the battle? What is the devil trying to throw at us? To do anything to confuse you about the love of Christ.
Amen.
He's got to keep you in the dark. It is a battle. And how many times, remember, I think it was two times ago, I talked to you about how the devil will enshroud in mystery the simplest statements that God has made. So we come in here and you hear a lot of repetition of certain things about this truth, about what God is like. The devil wants to enshroud that because the second that he knows that you understand that, his power is broken. I found the statement where she says, the moment that you comprehend how valuable you are in God's sight, the devil's power is broken.
Amen.
That's incredible.
Amen.
When you comprehend how valuable you are to God, His power is broken.
Amen.
Now, he's trying to attack the unity of the church. What is the greatest demonstration of God's power?
Changing of the heart.
Two major things. Ron?
First of all, changing of the heart.
Changing of the heart. Yes. You had your hand in the back? Were you going to say something? Okay. I thought maybe you were going to make a statement. The changed life of a human being, that they have no power whatsoever to do themselves, this is by the grace of God as we allow Him to do this to us. The second evidence of the greatest evidence of God's power is that you and I live in harmony, in unity. The devil has to break that down. Now let me tell you why. Remember the name of Balak and Balaam? Balak the king asked Balaam to come, who was a prophet, and curse Israel because he heard what God had done. And so he took him to a high mountain and he overlooked the camp of Israel. When Balaam Adam looked down and saw the orderliness, the beauty, the cleanliness, the organization of that thing, he trembled inside. So here were people who were rank slaves taken out of Egypt, and the changed life that was evident to Balaam, he quaked with fear and he couldn't get the curse out. Balak looked down and he too was trembling. Yeah. So he took Balaam away from that and said, I got to move you to another part of the mountain. So all you can see is the back part. Who was the back part? The Egyptians who followed them. So Balak very wisely caused Balaam to go so all he could see was this rabble that followed them. In here we have in the armament of God this sword. It's the only offensive evidence, the only offensive piece of equipment that the Christian has. And do you know what that is?
The Word of God.
It's the Word of God, but more than just being the Word of God, it's the changed life. No greater power on the face of the earth than a human being who has been conformed to, who has been changed by the grace of God. And most of your witnessing and your battling, what you're doing, most of that is done and you're not even aware of it. As people witness your changed life, something happens, a change happens. Yeah, Jim.
Well, you ask what the biggest change you'll notice. The first one you'll notice within yourself is that I notice that I'm able to love God with all my heart, with all my mind, and all my soul. And the manifestation of God's power will be that I will be able to love my neighbor as myself.
Yes, thank you very, very much. That is the miracle of miracles, when we find what we can do. So where is the devil going to try to attack us? He wants to do everything he can to hide from our view what God is like.
Amen.
He wants to do everything he can to hide from the view of other people the unity, the orderliness, the organization, the fellowship that there is between brothers. The devil has to do everything he can to hide this. Now, yes.
So what you're saying is my only offensive piece of equipment is my witness and my life, my changed life.
That's it. That's it.
Remember the promise of God. The temptation has to fall on you because it's your hand.
Yes.
The temptation is to lie to witness.
Yeah. Now, folks, here was the thing that really overwhelmed me. That this armor is to equip us as we go to witness. That as we go out to share, that's what this armor is all about. It's not out to go out to slay. It is prepare us that as we go to witness, we will be fully covered with the panoply of God. That as we go, a mighty power like dynamite will accompany us so that people will look at this and will behold what a God you serve. Who is this one that you serve? And folks, using Ernie's favorite statement, it won't be because you have quoted the 2300 days. There's going to be something about your nature, your very character, that the devil hates and has to do everything he can to keep you from being exposed. I'm sorry we got to close or ran over again. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the equipment that you have provided. This equipment fill our minds with your love, with the knowledge of you. You have clothed us with righteousness. You have put the breastplate upon us. You have put the belt of truth about us. And you have put the shoes. How beautiful are the feet of those on the mountain who are there to proclaim the good news. Thank you, Father, for equipping us, for protecting us, for giving us the victory through Jesus Christ. In his name.